Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear Him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to Him in repentance, He will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fine. Then you articulate it. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy?
Yes?
How would you articulate the distinction between taking an AI sermon that was written for you and learning how to present it as an orator and as an actor versus being in a homiletics class where you hone your delivery skills? What's the difference?
Well, there's a huge difference because one, you didn't write, the other, you did.
Okay, so but the focus is the practicing of the delivery.
Right. So I think it is a skill. Delivering something written word is definitely a skill. I mean, we know that. We're in radio. But I think the goal, what your goal is, there's a legitimate goal, there's an illegitimate goal. I mean, the legitimate part of it for me would be if you're trying to remove the distractions where the people can hear you and understand you with clarity. That's a legitimate goal for developing the skill.
And I'd even go on the other side to become an orator that people are even, that like it helps them even more to consume the content.
Right. Yes. Yes. But I think if your goal was to, well, I just want people to feel like I'm spontaneous. I'm not reading. I'm just being, if that's your goal for, developing a delivery skill, I don't think that's legitimate at all.
I think too, Jimmy, the issue of the author of the contents, because what do you call people who read other people's lines? You call them actors.
Mm-hmm, that's
now,
right.
If you're putting on sort of a dramatic presentation, that is simply a different category than preaching. Preaching is different than any other form of oratory. It is radically different. The way that it is structured, the way the subject matter is applied, the way the thesis is presented, carried out, and concluded. And furthermore, you've got the spiritual interaction. You've got God speaking to people through a man's sinful mouth that he has studied, that he has put together with prayer because he knows the sheep and he knows what the needs of the body are. And so he's putting this sermon together from his heart, from his labors, from being a workman who rightly divides the word, as a shepherd. And he wants now to present it in such a way where it just doesn't trip anybody up. Now, I will say this. If you're going to homiletics class, perfectly good homiletics class, because you are going to be the next Winston Churchill. You are going to be the orator deluxe who just presents thing in such a way that people just look at you and think, you're the bomb. You got the wrong motive. You got a problem too. That's not the right motive. I do believe there's a line between getting better at oratory and seeking to become an orator that people applaud. Furthermore, I do think that it is the contents. Who is responsible for them? Furthermore, these pastors that are AI sermoning, do they get up and say, good morning, everybody? Just want to let you know, I did not write a single word of this. I prompted AI. Are you ready? And then you know what comes next. Morning, church. How's everybody doing today? Because even AI falls into that trap. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. It was a text. Todd, I had a required HR training to do this week at work. They had a drag and drop questionnaire to identify different types of discrimination.
Oh, drag and drop.
Yes. Drag and
like,
drop.
What's a drag and drop? Is that like a new candy, like a gummy worm?
I'm sorry. Drag and a drop questionnaire to identify different types of discrimination. There are some questions where I have to state that the given example is transgender discrimination or homosexual discrimination. As a Christian, this doesn't feel right to approve of. What are your thoughts?
I would have to see the drag and drop to know, because we would be opposed to discrimination. But I'd have no problems answering that. If it asks for affirmation or if it defines discrimination as you're judgmental or disagree, then yeah, I would have a problem with that. I would. And yeah, I personally, I couldn't answer stuff like that. And I would immediately be ready to articulate my religious reasons for that, because without that, I would think they could make your life pretty ugly. And I keep returning to having the mindset that we are indeed sojourners here. You and I are gurs. We are sojourners. That was Hebrew, by the way. A gur. This isn't your home. Making our way through 1 Peter, we've been stalled out now for 2 weeks. But Jimmy, you'll be pleased to know, on Sunday we didn't do church, but we did an online thing.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did.
How'd that work out?
Couldn't see anybody.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I'm just kind of, you know, like, talk. I could see myself. That made it horrible. But I was in no fellowship. We didn't do singing, because that would be weird. You'd just be singing in your house all by here. So we didn't, you know, it wasn't like a full-blown service, but at least we did get together. And it wasn't as sweet as what it is going to be this Sunday. So I'm going to be preaching a sermon that I'd actually written 3 weeks ago, and I've been able to work ahead like 6 or 7 sermons. It's been magnificent in that regard. But I'm noticing this theme in 1 Peter. It is the sojourner theme. You're just not here for the stuff the pagans are here for. For instance, the pagans, you've had enough of your own life, said Peter. You've done all those things. That's behind. It's not who you are. Now the pagans are going to look at you and go, "Hey, you used to do those things. Why aren't you doing those things anymore?" That is just one of about 20 examples of this. Is we are here for grander things. We are here for a bigger purpose. We are supposed to be eschatologically minded. This is heaven, baby. That's the eternity that we are looking forward to with a living hope. And while I'm here, I've got to be ready. I got to be ready to take a shellacking. For whatever reason, they're going to mock you. They might fire you. Now, you can take advantage of all of the laws that you want to protect yourself. We see that Paul did that regularly enough. So take advantage of that. But I think adopting the mindset that this isn't it. And I'm here for something different. I am here ultimately to silence mouths with my behavior so that they ask for the reason of the hope that lies within me, so that I can proclaim the excellencies of our Savior. That's why I'm here. Now, does that mean that I no longer have any concern about employment? No, certainly not. But it finds its proper place. And it helps me to understand why it is that I could not get the promotion because they know I'm a Christian. And I can actually, here's a challenge for you. Do you know what Peter says our response to those types of things should be? Do you know what he says? Rejoice greatly. You go, well, how am I supposed to rejoice greatly because I'm taking a beating at work? It's because you're taking a beating because of righteousness, because you are being identified with your Savior, because this is about experiencing your salvation, your faith. I think this is coming up in a sermon. To use the term "you were born again" isn't really right. You were born again, but you're still being born again, and you're going to be fully born again in the future. In other words, your salvation, it's a past, present, future. So when you're experiencing hard things, you're looking forward to the rest. You're looking forward to the glory that's given you. You're looking forward to the crowns that are given to you. You're looking for the fulfillment of your salvation in the future, and it brings it into a correct perspective. And it allows me, I can be bummed out about being passed over again to a degree, but I also can rejoice greatly. Look at what I'm participating in. Now, that's why you've got to be suffering for righteousness' sake. If you're suffering at work because you're not a good employee, well, then that's on you. But if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, Peter tells us, rejoice greatly, because it's not about your job. It's about your faith. It's about your salvation. It's about the completed work of Jesus Christ, which has ongoing and eternal implications. That is the perspective that we should We need to strive for that. And Peter is just, he is being relentless in beating that drum. This isn't about walking around with our head in the clouds, but this is about walking around going, you know what? This is not my home. My assignment is not to make the world a better place per se. My assignment is to be holy, to be a chosen people, to be a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a people of God. That's my job. That's my job. Oh, that thing that I do from 9 to 5, that's how I bring money home. My job is to be an elect ger, a chosen sojourner, so that as salt and light, an eternal impact can be made. And that is why we can rejoice greatly. Even if you have to do a drag and drop, or in this instance, a drag and drop, answering some dopey question, you can accept the consequences. If you can't in good conscience answer that question, I don't know what the question is, so I can't tell you what to do on it. But if you're standing for righteousness, you can go home and say, honey, we have got something to rejoice over greatly. I got fired today. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together, or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. What it looks like for marriages and families to actually flourish instead of just holding it all together. Brad is a pastor, he's a certified biblical counselor, and as I said, a Fortis Institute fellow, and he brings decades of experience to helping real couples work through the real stuff. And this is the kind of Christ-centered content that we're producing every single day here at Fortis Institute, and it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. And if our ministry has helped you in any type of way, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options: be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this, it's all free, completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is the sound of providence. This is Wretched Radio. I found it digging in my garbage can yesterday. Shared some extensive quotes from one Octavius Winslow. He's a dead guy. 1870, he wrote The God of Love, talking about how we should remember that everything about God that we know about him must always have the backdrop or foundation of his love. So every one of his excellencies, every one of his attributes, behind it stands love. And there was a quote in there that I was reminded of because of the face that Jimmy made. At the end of the last segment, I said, if you get fired for the sake of righteousness, not because you're always late, but for the sake of righteousness, that is a blessing because you're being persecuted for the Lord's sake. You're being identified with Christ. You're participating in his suffering. You're experiencing your full salvation, past, present, and future. So you can say when you get home, honey, look at this. I got a pink slip today. What a blessing. And Jimmy, you made a face. So let me share this quote that I found on page 9. Here it is right here. This is from an old dead guy. Into this ocean of divine love, let your heart, just as it is, plunge. Repair with all its sin and sorrow and weariness to no other purifying, comforting source, but to the shoreless, soundless sea of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, descend in simple childlike faith into its depths and lose yourself amid its boundless infinitude. The love of God, thus filling and overflowing in your heart, all will be well. Winter will blossom into spring, spring will blush into summer, and summer will ripen into the golden fruit of autumn. Oh, how the love of God changes the aspect of everything. Here it comes. Afflictions are then seen to be disguised blessings. If you have been afflicted by firing because of your righteousness, it is a disguised blessing. Trials, proofs of divine faithfulness. So, Jimmy.
Yes.
The dead guy agreed with me.
Okay.
Now, you got to be a little careful with this because it's like, okay, I'm going to go be righteous so that somebody will tase me on the train ride into Atlanta. No, 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 no. Or something bad happens and it's like, whoop-de-doo, that was a riot because I'm being persecuted for his name's sake. No, we're not weird and we're not stoic and we don't pretend that suffering isn't just that. It's suffering. We do feel it, but simultaneously, God reframes everything we understand about suffering. It's for your good. It's a trial. It's a test. It's a preparation. It is God discipling you. And you are participating in his cosmic drama of the salvation of souls and the glorification of his son. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, yikes, got to deal with stuff. Got to deal with money issues. We're going to have to cut back. Goodbye, Netflix. All right, we got to start. I got to get my resume. You do all of those things, but simultaneously, you can have a steadfast joy. Remember what Peter said, rejoice greatly in these things. that requires such a transformational shift. I just caught a short of Johnny Artavanis. It was not very long, and it was kind of impactful simply because it was visual. He said, some of us in the Christian life, we aren't over here. And he used his right hand, like over on this side. You know, that's the big nasty stuff. We know better. We don't do those things. But over here, way over here on the left side, you've got fullness of joy in Christ Jesus. Delighting in knowing God. delighting in being known by God, understanding reality, rejoicing in sufferings, understanding ethereal things, and enjoying the love of God. That's over here. Most of us are kind of in the middle. We don't do the big uglies, but we're not diving into the sea of God's love either. We're not fully participating in our past, present, and future salvation. And that was the end of it. He didn't go anywhere from there. You know, shorts, how they are. And I think he's right. And the goal for us is to be moving to the left. Now, I don't normally say that, but I'm stuck in my illustration. Move to the left, that the totality of your life, this is all about Jesus Christ. This, oh, this hurts. Rick Warren was right. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about anybody but Jesus. Immerse yourself in that. Align yourself with that. Let that be your resume. Let that be your CV. Let that be your identification. Let that be what motivates, what guides, what controls, what informs. That's becoming more Christ-like and simultaneously enjoying reality that it was originally created to be. That's the goal of the Christian life. And I really think Peter was after that. Peter was after dualism. Peter was after that tendency that we all possess that says, I'll go to church, I'll study my Bible, but then I got to get to work. Then I got to deal with the kids. We got to get to the softball game. Wrong. The softball game is about Jesus. How you raise your kids, it's about Jesus. How you manage your day, it's about Jesus. What you do at work, how you work, how you get to work, it's about Jesus. All of it, that's reality. Be moving constantly, not in a mystical way, not in a Watchman Nee kind of way, where we become Thomas of Avila, we're mystics, and it's just, oh, I'm just having these ethereal thoughts. Oh, I tripped over something again because I'm dead, my head so far in the clouds. No, we're here, but we're on assignment here. And our chief assignment isn't the stuff we do. Not saying that's not an assignment. That's not our chief assignment. Our chief assignment is what we are. Now, what we do, primarily, what we are, that's what God is after. Because out of what we are, that flows the what we do. That's the motive for why we do what we do. So doing is not irrelevant, but more important is the who we are. Not doing, but being. That's the Christian life. And the more you can, sorry for this, mindfully work toward that, the more joy you're going to have. And the more you're going to be able to receive bad news, the more you're going to be able to cope with difficulties, and they abound, the more you will be basing your life on the rock. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Jennifer. Todd, I know you recently touched on guilt by association, but at what point and to what degree does a church stop promoting or listening to a teacher because of their association with someone who's clearly problematic?
It depends. It really has to be taken on a case-by-case basis. One of my favorite memories of Phil Johnson is when he was like, because Phil never, okay, I can't say never, because in this instance he did. We were at G3 10 years ago, something like that. And I was asking him about degrees of separation. And I think we all affirm this. Phil ain't a dummy. And so if I would ask him a pointed question about it, he'd go, well, but you see, it depends on, and then you got to consider, and so he couldn't give like the, boom, here's the line right here. 1 degree, 2 degree, 3 degree, couldn't do that. Because it depends on the association itself. It depends on the knowledge of the individual of what they understand about the person with whom they're associating that you think is wonky. How wonky is that person? How much do they actually, how do they feel about that teaching? All of those things need to be considered. And I think, so even Phil was like, there just aren't clear-cut rules to this. It needs to be done with so much wisdom. Now, I see ditches on both sides of this. Typically, with typical Big Eva stuff, it's like, whatever. Some, yeah, they teach Buddhism too, but, you know, they've got some good stuff, so let's just eat the meat and spit out the bones. Eh. On the other side, it's like, okay, so I know this teacher and he's really good, but he went to a conference once with this guy who was actually on an airplane once with a false teacher and he didn't confront him. So I can't have a relationship with any of them. No. That's going too far. I wish that I could answer your question. If Phil can't, I can't. Approach it with wisdom. Always be, even in this, we want to simultaneously be a Berean who hopes the best. You want the best, hopes the best, and make wise decision. And in these instances, it's always really, really good to get counsel. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.